Our scripture lesson today, as you see, is all of Isaiah 55. That's sandwiched straight in there between Isaiah 54 and 56. And I want to share this because I think it's worth sharing. Some of you guys have an incredible sense of humor. And last Sunday, I'm always the recipient of that incredible sense of humor. And as he was just kind of easing his way out, Lewis telling me, "Good job, Pastor. Love you, Pastor. Wonderful job, Pastor." Slipped a little gift in my hand. He slipped in the movie DVD of Shenandoah. And laughed as he continued walking past. It's still in the wrapper, Lewis. I know eventually I'll fall prey to that dumb movie. And I'll have to sit down and watch it. I still think, Greg, are you listening? Yeah. I think we're going to have a movie night one night where we're going to show Shenandoah. Then all of you people can cry with me and I won't be alone anymore. Isaiah chapter 55. Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no mercy. Come buy, or no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is my word that goes from my mouth, and it will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Let us pray. Father, strengthen our heart and make your word known to us. Let it return back to you full after it has watered and made fertile and caused seed and flourish within us, Father. We thank you for the many things that you have given, and we ask, Father, in this time that you hear us as we pray. Teach us from your word today, Father, from your words. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said loudly, Amen. Amen. Isidore Isaac Ribeye. It's a wonderful name, isn't it? I'm going to say it again because I might change my name to it.
I like how it rolls off the tongue.
Isidore Isaac Ribeye. That sounds good, doesn't it? That should be my name. Was a genius. He was a man of incredible intelligence. Born in 1898, he died in 1988. He was an American physicist and a Nobel laureate. And he was recognized in 1944 for his discovery of nuclear magnetic resonance. Doesn't that excite you to know that? I see all your faces like, why do we have a preacher who likes reading technical manuals? Because they always surprise me at the end. See, a friend once asked Isidore how he became a scientist, and he replied, he said every day after school, his mother would talk to him about his school day. She wasn't worried about what he learned. She always asked, did you ask good questions today? Asking good questions, Rabbi said, made me a good scientist. Listening made me a better one. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Oh, well, let's talk about Isidore and what he did, because there's a reason. We're going to learn a word today. We're going to learn two words today, and we're all going to know these words, and we're going to walk out of here so smart. Are you ready? The word we're going to learn is called cavity magnetron. Cavity magnetron. On the count of three, we're going to say it together. Ready? One, two, three. Cavity magnetron. It is a fascinating piece of equipment. It is a magnet with a cavity. Cavity magnetron. Does anybody know what that is? Show your hand if you do. I do. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's a magnet with a cavity.
Right. What's it do? You can't remember because you don't know. And your daddy's kind of smart. And until he started reading, he wasn't really sure. Cavity magnetron. I'm going to give you the short version. It is a vacuum tube that generates microwaves with the intersection of electrons in a magnetic field while moving past a series of open metal cavities. Woohoo! Doesn't that sound neat?
Yeah.
Everybody looking at me like this. What? What? Isidore was responsible for working with a cavity magnetron. See, the waves create radio series signals that are oscillations, just like when you strum a guitar, the strings over the amplified hole puts out a series of waves. And because of this, he was able to develop things. He was able to develop something called radar detection and ranging. You know what that is? Radar detection and ranging. Maybe if I say it by the word that you absolutely know, radar. Isidore helped develop radar. Everybody knows what radar does, right? That's the thing that you get tickets from. I mean, that's the thing that controls airplanes. I saw a funny little thing the other day in a paper or a book or whatever that said retired men who are bored should take their wife's hair dryer and go sit in dark glasses by the side of the road and just point that hair dryer at cars coming by and watch how fast they slow down. I cannot wait to be retired. Radar! Pap, you're going to do that now. But you see, now it grew beyond that, because the problem with cavity magnetron is that the waves actually negatively influenced the radar as the radar idea grew. And now radar is on a totally different level. But it started from that. It started from this little steel piece of equipment that generated this stuff. Do you know that each one of you have a cavity magnetron in your house? What is it? That's right! Isidore created a microwave oven. Who doesn't like that? Really, if you open that door, shut that thing, boop, 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 boop. Instant supper. But the cavity magnetron, also developed by him, became another piece of equipment used so widely around the world today to help people. As a matter of fact, as he was in his elder years and in need of diagnosis, he had cancer. And he laid inside a machine that had a reflective inner surface. He said, I saw myself in that machine. I never thought my work would come to that. The machine's called the magnetic resonance imaging, MRI. Isidore's work became what an MRI machine is. At the end of his life, looking back, he was able to see that. I read a whole lot about him because I got fascinated real fast. Did you know he was considered so boring in giving lectures that the students, when they were done, went to the library to try to figure out what in the world he was talking about? He was so smart that when he started talking, everybody in the room shut up because they didn't want to miss what he had to say. They didn't always understand it. Isidore was part of the Manhattan Project, and we all know what came from that. End of World War II. But he said, looking back, one of the things that caught his attention was that MRI. I never thought my work would come to this. Nobel Prize winner. I don't know how many doctorates he had, how many masters he had. An incredible man, stunned by a simple machine. All because of what? I asked good questions and I listened. Looking back. Yeah, I think the thing that we forget about all too often is that God is really in control. I forget about it quite often. Anybody else in this room forget that God's in control? Oh yeah. You all think you all can do it all yourself, don't you? I hate to keep picking on Pat, but I lived with that man for quite a number of years. Incredible man, could do a lot of things. Somehow or another, he was even able to keep me somewhat straight. But we really can't do everything. There was some stuff I broke up on that farm that he couldn't fix. I ask him about it sometimes. And he used to ask me, how did you do that? No, I don't know. But God is completely in control. And often we find ourselves waiting and trying to figure things out, and we get frustrated, don't we? Do you want to see a point in time at which we don't understand what's going on and we want answers? Let me read these words to you. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when they were standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, and he put it on a stick, and he offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. When Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit at that moment. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with them who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. The Jews were waiting forever. They had been promised the Messiah. And now Jesus came, and everybody was wound up tight about it, and now Jesus was dead. How many people do you think stood there going, why? Why? Why did you do this? Why is this going on? Why? Lord, I know you're up there and I know you're in control, but I don't like this, so I'm going to have to go out and start trying to figure this out on my own. Why? We often find ourselves waiting. To those Christians who are always in a hurry, here's some good advice from the 19th century preacher A.B. Simpson. He said, beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to vex you again? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you are to practice these things, it must be now. Each day affords countless opportunities to learn patience. Let's not waste them. Commenting on this, M.H. Lount, another great preacher, has said, God's best gifts come slowly. We could not use them if they did not. Many a man called to God to work in which he was pouring out his life, convinced that the Lord means to bring his efforts to a successful conclusion right away. You know who that is? Me. Nevertheless, even such a confident worker grows discouraged at times and worries because results do not come as rapidly as we would desire, but our strength is in waiting. And often the greater moment, the greater end, will come. Paul had time to realize this as he laid in prison. Moses, I guarantee you, asked himself why. How many years he wandered in the desert, boys?
40 years.
40 years. I've been alive for 48. That's a long time. 40 years just wandering around. Moses probably was going on. And Jesus himself experienced the delay in his silent years before his ministry began, and yet when he hung on the cross. How many people want what they want now? Everybody's got a cell phone nowadays, don't you? Pretty near everybody does. Boy, you pull that thing out of your pocket. How did we live without them? I can remember when there weren't none, not too long ago. You'd be driving home from work, and you didn't have to worry about work calling you because there wasn't a way they'd get a hold of you. Ha, ha, ha. Now they call you, clean up until you go to bed. And what do you have to do to your phone so people will leave you alone? Turn it off. Everybody wants what they want now, and I'm the worst at it. Microwaves aren't even fast enough for me. I want that thing on the Jetsons where they drop the pill in and the thing went, and out comes a turkey dinner. That's me. But A.B. Simpson says, the greatest gifts, M.H. Lounce says, the greatest gifts of God come to us slowly. Go back to Scripture for a moment. This sermon originated in two parts. Number one, yes, I want to talk about what's going on in my life because everybody's curious, but I wasn't sure where the Scripture was going to come from. And on the back end of a dump truck, about a week ago, as I was sitting in traffic looking at it, was the Scripture from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. I want you to stop at verse 6 for a minute. The beginning of this is an invitation to the thirsty. Who in this room is thirsty? You all are, because you seek the Lord. You seek that desire. And what does he say? You can come to me without money and I will fill you up. Put your labor here. I'll take care of you. It'd be a good thing if we'd understood that once in a while, wouldn't it? But no, you all have to be too hard-headed. Me, I understand it. Don't do anything right now. Verse 6, pay attention to the words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. You know what that means? Eventually, he's not always going to be there. That's a hard thing to hear. The Bible makes it very clear that one day, after Jesus comes and takes us home, there ain't going to be nothing left. The Holy Spirit's leaving too. While he may be found, while he is near. That is two words that teach us to accept God's grace, his gifts, and his mercy slowly. Isaiah doesn't stop there, though. He says, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Since I became a Christian, again, I don't have any evil thoughts, and I don't do anything evil, right? Well, I got news for y'all. Y'all are due too. That is not about just some guy you know that's a hard piece of iron. That's for all of us. We have to look back sometimes to understand what's going on. And so everybody's been curious about it. And I've been telling everybody to be quiet. Yes. On June 30th, my job run out. I sent out, and when this all started, and I did not get the job that I was supposed to get because there was some stuff that went on I don't think was necessarily in my favor amongst some people that were running the ship. So I didn't get the job that they had built for me. And I was out the door. And for me, getting that job was the brass ring. That was the top. So I began to worry and send out applications. How am I going to take care of the family? I'm used to doing this. I sent out 35 or 40 applications. Not a single one ever came back. Oh, I got a couple of rejection letters. You're not qualified enough. Really? I read your ad. And so last week, somebody came to me and said, hey, I talked to you about a week ago. Yeah. Well, that job opened back up. Really? So I called the company. I'm praying. Because, and I'm going to give you the hard numbers now, which I don't often do, but I was facing going to become an inspector for the state, which was fine, except I was losing about $600 a week in my paycheck to do that. That's pretty significant. Well, this company came in and we talked, and they made a job offer to me, and I'd only lose about that much. Okay, fine. Let's go ahead and make this happen. I asked for prayer. By the time you all got done praying, the prayer had been answered. I had to wait 8 months for the answer. And God, and I'm not bragging for myself, I want you to understand what the scripture means. God didn't just answer it a little bit. He kicked it into the next gear. A company that I had talked to a week and a half prior to this company turned around and said, I don't believe you accepted that job. We were talking. No, we weren't. You hadn't been talking anymore. And they came back to me to get me to do the same job with an offer that's higher than what I'm making now, with all the benefits built in. 8 months I had to wait. Okay. Has anybody in here ever had to wait any time for anything?
9 months for a baby.
9 months for what?
A baby.
9 months for a baby.
That's a lot of
waiting. Boy, I walked right into that one, didn't I? We have a dog. Oh, we had a dog. Loved her dearly. I've had dogs all my life. Dogs love to do one thing when you take them out for a walk if you don't have them on a leash. What do they like to do? They like to run in front of you, don't they? As far ahead of you as they can go. And what do you see after a while when you're walking with that mutt? What's it do? Hey, am I going the right way? I thought we were going this way, and it looks like you're going that way. Hey, let me run back here. Guess what? We do the same thing to Jesus Christ. We seem to forget that He has got it laid out. Isaiah wrote these words here. What did he say? Let's get on back down there a little further. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is my word goes out from my mouth and it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it. Golly, I don't like those kind of scriptures. Because they just make me cringe because of how dumb I am. That's our problem. We pray and we think, right then, God heard us. Every morning at 5:10 a.m., mark that time, I start my morning prayers. I'm driving down the road, I just heard the traffic report, I turn the radio off, and I start my morning prayers. And every morning, God, please, just a sign, please, I'm struggling here. I'm in tears here. Please, I don't understand this. Why are you doing this to me? I preach your word every Sunday morning. I know what that book says. I listen to what you say. 9 months I've been doing it. Please, dear Lord, please. What are you doing? Why? Oh, that's your answer? I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was that far out in front of you. Let me look back for a minute. Look what I see. The cross. The moment that Jesus Christ made sure we were solidified forever in His will and His plan. The writer there is saying that God has your plan laid out. And yet, we keep acting up. The Hebrew writer in 12 says, "Run with endurance the race set before us." George Matheson backed that up by writing, "We commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid." I love that statement. Well, I'll just sit down here and wait. If that's what you want me to do, Lord, I ain't doing nothing else. I'm just going to sit right down on my rear end and I am going to wait. I'll show you what I can do. And sometimes we get that attitude. And yet there is patience that I believe to be harder. That patience, the patience that can run, to lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune implies a great strength. But I know something that implies a strength greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight pushing down on you at your heart and still run. To have a deep anguish in your spirit and perform the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience. Not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is too hard. To wait with good courage is harder. Now we find ourselves looking back, and Christ has always been right where He is, laying out our path, regardless of what we want to run to. One Sunday morning, I finally found the lyrics and the chords. I'm going to bring that song here and sing it. Nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Remember that song? Everybody wants to be the leader of the band. You know that song, don't you? You don't know that song? Oh my goodness. I have to teach it to you. And so what do we get out of waiting? What do we get? John chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. What do we get out of looking back? As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things He had said to her. Three times in that scripture, three times she did what? Looked back. Don't let us get so far out in front. Looking back now, or the past 8 months, it was a dot. It was a bump in time. I should have known better. I won't. I'll make that mistake over and over and over and over and over and over again. But if we remind ourselves to stop every now and then and look back and see where Jesus is, we'll find out He's right where He's always been. And if we draw ourselves back to Him, we'll be where He wants us. And He will answer us. He will give us our answer. The Lord in heaven above hears your cries.
God bless you.
And though you may not want the answer, you're going to get one. Though you may not see it at the beginning, it's okay. The writer said, exercise your faith with great patience, with great courage. And be stronger yet in the adversity. I pray, Father, that you would continue to lay on me heavy weights and teach me. And teach my brothers and sisters that in all things, look back. There he is. Let me run right back here to him. You know what that dog always did, right? When you stopped and that dog turned around, dog come right back, turn, and come right back, lay up against your leg and look up at you like, whoops. I pray, brothers and sisters, that you have strength during your endurance and that you remember to look back. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have a long journey. I mean, in the strength of time, as you look across time, the life of a human may not seem very long, but to us it is a long journey. And you know it, and you have mercy and grace and compassion for us. Mary turned, and when she turned, she saw you. She saw Jesus. And she ran back to him. Realizing that that short amount of pain was answered with something so great. To this day, we cannot fathom it. We sang that song, and I stand in awe of you. Heavenly Father, guide us and walk along with us as we go. And every now and then, catch us by the shirt tail and make us look back. And have the patience we need in these times. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Amen.